Welcome to a bite-sized feast of a Thanksgiving episode from your friends at Rewind Basement. We wanted to talk about some Thanksgiving movies. It is the week. It is the time. The turkey's in the oven. I didn't defrost it early enough. So we got some time to chat. We got some time to chill. Today we're talking about Thanksgiving Day movies. So, Joshua, what is your favorite Thanksgiving movie?
Well, my favorite Thanksgiving movie is probably one of the greatest movies ever made.
Perennial favorite.
Yes, of Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
I mean, who doesn't love a possessed, murdering, bad
turkey.
Languaged.
Yeah, foul-mouthed.
Foul-mouthed turkey.
It's a fantastic movie. It's on Tubi right now, so you can find it on streaming. I recommend checking it out. I watched it years ago based on your recommendation, but then I did just rewatch it a few days ago to get it fresh in the mind. It's fun. You know, I love Basket Case. I think we need a new counter for how many times I've mentioned Basket Case. But not per episode, like per the whole run. It's just going to be an ongoing counter. Anyway, like Basket Case, it is endearing in its amateur quality. These are not professional actors. These are not experienced crew or Hollywood experienced crew. Let me say that.
Yes.
But there's love and passion. It looks like it was a ton of fun to make. And, you know, it's sometimes an insult when you say, well, at least it looks like everybody had fun. It does look like everybody had
it. It looks like I'm wondering how much of a script there was versus where they would show up and be like, you know, it'd be really funny today.
Right.
Let's do this.
Particularly with the sheriff.
You know, and his wife.
His wife.
I wonder how many times they're like, okay, this is what we kind of wrote, but what if we did this instead?
Yeah, just himself.
Because.
And they didn't let shortcomings like the complexity of the puppet or plot continuity get in their way. Nobody kind of said, oh, hold on, we can't do that. They said, we'll figure it out.
It doesn't matter. And I really think they were trying to put as many, moments in there, kind of, you know, trauma inspired.
Right.
To just make the audience go, what the hell?
Subverting audience expectations.
Yeah.
Some people might prefer this movie over Last Jedi. Who knows?
I prefer it over Greasy Strangler, that's for sure.
Oh, for shame. Greasy Strangler is definitely up higher on the list for me.
I love how there's no question that the turkey is dressed up as like the sheriff, and nobody questions it.
Right.
Like,
well, he's wearing a costume.
He's wearing the sheriff hat and mustache and stuff, and nobody is like, wait, that doesn't look quite right.
Yeah. So the thing that mystifies me about this movie is how did it get on Tubi? Like it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
But to me, it's definitely in the realm of my buddy and I made this, check it out. And I'm glad that it has broken free from the confines of just the small circle of people that made it.
Now, wonder how it got on Tubi. When I first saw it, it was either Amazon or Netflix.
So how
it might have been a Netflix the first time I saw it. I don't remember. It's been a while, and I've subjected as many people to it as I can, and I've had to change it up where it is. But like it hit major streaming services.
Because it's not a crowd pleaser like other movies. It's fun and it's accessible. I mean, but there's also a huge portion of the cinematic audience that'd be like, what garbage is this? And to their fault for not indulging in it, there is a level of person that would be turned off, particularly by the opening segment, which I thought the opening segment was fantastic. So is there a line between a movie that's bad, but they tried real hard, that's good, versus they tried real hard and it's terrible, Like a Neil Breen.
So what's the difference between enjoying a movie that's bad versus it being a Neil Breen style production?
Right.
I think that the what I look at is, even though you said it could be kind of an insult, is did they have fun, mm-hmm. and are they aware of what they're doing?
Right.
One of my other favorites is I Was a Teenage Were-Skunk.
Yes, I do enjoy that one.
And which is Amazon. We talked
about on a prior episode.
Which we have. Yeah, we met up with Mad Angel Films.
They knew what they were doing was DVD box set.
Like total
Savage Christmas,
Axe Grinder 666,
to the
Graveyard Shark,
WTF Degree,
and Blood right. Red Beach, right.
which just, is their latest.
Let's throw
film.
Stuff in there, see if it works, just because.
Right.
Right.
And Trauma. I was just watching
Trauma.
Tough that too
all the time. And so I think it's the level of awareness of what they're doing, okay. and an acceptance that we're doing this just to be crazy silly,
right?
Have fun, versus we're doing this and we're trying to make something serious, right? We're trying to make a good movie, and it you Neil Breen it to death. To me, that's what makes the difference. Now, I'll still sit and watch a Neil Breen movie.
But ironically, almost.
Yes, yes. Whereas I will sit and watch these and go, man, I wish I was, it would have been cool to be on that set and be on that crew and help put this together and be like, look what I got to be a part of. Right.
And future episode, Joshua and I visited Monster Mania outside of Philly. And we got to meet with several independent distributors and filmmakers, and we picked up a whole handful of movies.
Yep. Yeah, we met up with Mad Angel Films and created our own little 4-DVD box set with Savage Christmas, Axe Grinder 666, Graveyard Shark, and Blood Red Beach, which is their latest film.
But we're very excited to delve into those. And so we are looking to celebrate and uplift. We're not looking to trash and make fun. But to me, one of the reasons why I don't feel guilty making fun of Neil Breen is that I don't think he's aware, or at least that's the selling point, is he is not aware.
Or that's the character he's trying to
portray. Right. Okay. But I also feel like there's a level of laziness and cutting corners in there. I feel like he cuts corners and kind of doubles down a little bit. And so double down. Oh my goodness. I've been infected.
Dire duplicity.
At night, why not?
Yeah.
So I feel okay kind of being mean spirited towards some Neil Breen stuff, because there are levels of it that are so he likes to smell of his own farts. We've been saying that a lot.
So I wouldn't say mean spirited. I would say not pulling any punches.
Okay.
And having a lower tolerance for what's being presented. For Neil, I have a lower tolerance because at least the character that he's portraying, think of like Joaquin Phoenix for a while when he was, you know, doing the
method level of it or whatever.
That he portrays himself as a hardcore, serious, very proud, self-financed, even though he's not quite self-financed because he crowdfunds it, level of production. Whereas this crew, their production values are better than his.
Right.
They're having a blast. Just let's make something cool.
Right.
So that we can watch and enjoy later. So I have a higher tolerance for all of them.
Okay. So it is a tolerance. I feel like there's a certain checklist that I can't put my finger on. But if it was like, this happened, then I'm like, all right, I can't with this movie. Or I'm like, oh, yes. And so like Basket Case pulled that off.
Yep.
There was some movie I was watching that I did turn off because it was so terrible. And I'm not remembering the name right now. But have you seen Zombievers?
Yep.
Zombievers also, it knows what it's now. Zombievers was also a camp, right?
Killing is camp.
Is a camp.
It's, yeah.
But it's not just camp that does it. It has to be a little bit more. So, again, in comparing it to Basket Case, I loved the turkey puppet. I thought the turkey puppet was fantastic.
Yeah.
I loved every minute he was on screen. I love that they didn't fret about the shortcomings of the puppet. Like, if he had to, like, sit and then stand up and walk away, and they didn't have enough body to do that, they kind of, like, very clearly panned away or, like, zoomed up so it's just tail feathers. Yeah. Like, they did it. They did it. And I found it funny. So I definitely give it 2 drumsticks up. And thank you for the recommendation. I don't know if I would have gone after it.
It's something everybody should watch. It should be on everybody's mid-November watch list.
All right, I'm down.
And you watched Thanksgiving 3.
I have not seen 2 yet.
There's a reason for that.
Okay.
But no spoilers.
No spoilers. All right, I appreciate that. Don't need to have to bleep you again in the edit.
Yeah. So what is yours?
So I am very fond of, I'm very fond of the new entry in our Thanksgiving menu, and that is just straight up Eli Roth's Thanksgiving.
Well, we know we're talking about Thanksgiving, but what's your favorite Thanksgiving?
It would be Eli Roth's 2023 movie, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, what's his 2023
his Thanksgiving movie? unnamed Eli Roth Thanksgiving movie. A project. The Thanksgiving Project.
Mm. Dual duplicity.
I love the story behind it that in prior episodes, we've talked about... my brain. A Planet Terror and Death Proof, part of the Grindhouse double feature. And in between those two were all these great satirical trailers. And they were all kind of winking and nodding at the idea of Grindhouse trailer that were just, you know, they fit the thing. And then famously Machete, which was the greatest trailer from that lineup, Machete got turned into a feature-length movie. And it was also incredible. It was more grindhousey than the Grindhouse movies because they really laid on all the schlock and the schlop and the missing frames and the ridiculousness. And so Eli Roth's like, okay, if you can make a full feature-length movie successfully from a ha-ha trailer joke, let's see. I'm sure people started asking him as well. Where's Thanksgiving? Give us Thanksgiving. If you vaguely remember that song with the trampoline. There's a cheerleader doing splits on the trampoline, and then the knife comes up through the trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a big turkey mascot, and people are getting slashed and killed in Thanksgiving style murders, like getting stuffed, getting baked.
What was your favorite kill?
Okay, at the oven. Because, right there, I might be confusing this a little bit, but they're tied up like the turkey. Right? Like their body is contorted a little bit.
Yeah.
And that to me was like, it's ridiculous, but they pulled it off because it could have been really bad. Right? I think there's some rubber used to make the body. Yeah. I'm a little vague on that, but that's what stands out to me the most was you're a Thanksgiving movie. You're going for the title Thanksgiving. You've got a pilgrim as the killer. You got to lean into the stuffed turkey going into the oven and being on display on the table. You got to lean into that. And they did. They didn't disappoint.
My favorite was the first one.
Okay.
The first murder, not the first death, right? Because it's the most, out of all of them, the most unrealistic.
Right, yeah.
Where she just gets cut in half from the dumpster.
Right.
Which wouldn't happen.
Right. Because she was in the freezer and then...
She was in the freezer and all that.
Right.
She's climbing into the dumpster and it hits her and the top of the dumpster comes down and cuts her in half. That would never, ever, 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 ever happen.
But you're setting the stage.
I saw that. I was like, whoa, that's awesome.
Right.
And then when you see the body on the store sign.
Yes.
The legs, waist and the legs on the store sign. That was my favorite. I did like the trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of like doing the splits and then when she lays down and stabs, but because the knife comes up and it gets the Achilles heels.
Right.
That's the, that hurts.
So it's not just a silly guts fest. There is suspense and tension and horror, right?
And some twists and turns that you don't.
Right.
He played this one kind of like one of the Giallo movies where every guy, you're like, oh, he's the one that did it.
Right. And we've said in prior episodes, Eli Roth loves his giallo.
And so this one, you didn't know. He played it so that it could have been one of multiple.
Right. And they give you little hints.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel there were any cheap punches, though. Like, whatever red herrings there were not like, oh, come on. At no point in this movie was I mad. Mm-hmm. And at no point in this movie did I roll my eyes. And I typically, my personal limit is 3. I will roll my eyes, but the third time, I'm now done. And any movie where I've rolled my eyes 3 times, I'm like, I can't. I can allow, okay, there's one roll eye. I roll. Not once did I roll my eyes. I'm going to get my letters together one day. Not once did I roll my eyes during Thanksgiving. And I kept thinking, all right, I'm expecting a machete level silly slasher. And it was definitely fun.
Like, it starts off that way.
Yeah.
It starts off crazy over the top, but as the movie progresses,
right,
it gets more serious and more realistic.
And you're on a good journey.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I really like Thanksgiving, because a lot of homage slashers have come out. A lot of, hey, would it be fun to do this in the style of an older movie? There's hundreds of those. They're dime a dozen. And this one, on top of that, is a gimmick that it was based on a trailer for an homage movie. And so I think the expectations were low. Like, hey, you did it. You finally made a fusion like Thanksgiving. Let's watch it.
But he didn't phone it in.
He didn't.
But I also felt that there was like a little bit of a nod to V for Vendetta.
Yes.
Because
the mask.
He's, yeah. Well, not just the mask, but he's cooking, wearing the mask and gloves.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching that going, that's straight from V.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the parallels, I think, are obvious.
Yeah.
Or intended. Intended. Yeah. But you really, I was pleasantly surprised. I was ready to say, kind of fun, kind of forgettable, never watch it again. But then I was like, wow, they really pulled it off. And I like the fact that you've got your silliness, but then you also have your serious suspense. Like, oh my goodness, are they going to get down the hallway? And, you know, and the John Carver, the mask, they pulled that off, right? Like, yeah. Every now and then there's horror movies that come out and you're like, that's not scary at all. Or it's like way over the top. I honestly believe nothing, my personal opinion, nothing tops the Michael Myers mask. Right, as far as horrifying just to think about, because it's so plain and it's unsettling, Uncanny Valley. And there's scarier masks out there and more complicated masks and more simple masks. But to me, like, the Michael Myers slasher mask is it. It's the thing. Even more so than Jason, because Jason didn't even have the mask till the third movie.
Right.
So John Carver, here comes. It's a new entry in a very crowded pool. And I was like, all right, you've earned a seat here at the table, at the Thanksgiving table. I thought it was tongue-in-cheek, but also they weren't jerking us around. They weren't taking our money and laughing on the way to the bank. They said, if you're going to give me the attention, I'm going to give you a good movie.
And see, I feel that way with Thanksgiving as well. Like, not that you're going to go see this in the theater.
Right.
Or that anybody ever did. But it's the, okay, you're going to give us an hour and change. Let's at least kind of take you to some places that you didn't expect.
Right.
Doing some of the tropes. But
right.
Then, like, not.
Yeah. Yeah. There were a couple of times you're heading down that path. Oh, I also wanted to mention, I really liked that Thanksgiving included a huge plot point on Black Friday. Because the movie could have been called Black Friday.
No, because there's already Black Friday.
Right. So
with Bruce Campbell.
Right. So it couldn't be, for legal reasons, it couldn't be called Black Friday. Or
no, I think it would have been bad, though, to have it all take place there.
Right.
On Black Friday, just.
But I like that Black Friday was a part of the story.
Yep.
And there was some social commentary on, you know, the harms of over-commercialism, over-consumerism, placing projects over people, social media. I like that there were some comments on it, but I didn't feel like I was being preached at any time. So,
well, they were definitely beating you over the head with the.
They were, but I wasn't like humorous. But I wasn't rolling my eyes at it like, oh my god. It was like, haha, you know, I was along for the ride. I did not ever take offense at the level of preachy, or I mean, like Green Inferno, which we talked about in our cannibal episode, prior episode is Green Inferno. I thought had some social commentary to make, but it didn't it wasn't the message. Like, you're not watching. He wasn't making it just to put that message out there. He's like, I have the platform. I'm going to use it, but I'm going to use it responsibly. So, but if you've not yet watched Thanksgiving, it is fantastic. And it's out there. Not quite for the kids, but I think young teenagers would like it.
But yeah, it's a slasher movie, so yeah. It's not for kids.
It's not for the wee little ones. But I think a 13, 14-year-old would be fine for the most part.
Yeah.
Your mileage may vary. You know your kids better than we do.
I would hope so.
Yeah. So, well, that leaves the elephant in the room.
Not horror, not slasher, but you can't have the Thanksgiving holiday without mentioning Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Correct.
Which is really the best.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, feel good, just great movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, just in general.
I like the fact that it is a Thanksgiving movie, but it wasn't.
It's like Die Hard.
Right.
Thanksgiving is played a little part in it. But it's a movie that took place during Thanksgiving.
Right.
Like Die Hard takes place during
Christmas. It could be Christmas. It could have been summer break.
I like that it's not,
One joke about how people don't always associate with Thanksgiving is there's a picture going on the internet, pretty easy to find, where I think it's Walmart, has their $10 DVDs or $5 DVDs. And there's marketing. I've held it in my hands. Where it's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but they've got like a North Pole between them. And then like they're wearing scarves and Santa hats and there's snow falling. And it's like some marketing guy is like, oh, this is the perennial Christmas favorite. You'll buy it as a Christmas present. And it got all the way through. And then someone's like, whoa, hold up. This is a Thanksgiving movie. But then they're like, who cares? You're going to buy it. It's $5. It's John Candy and Steve Martin. So it's out there. You can find it. It's kind of funny. I wouldn't buy it. Get the original. On VHS or Laserdisc. That's the only. I'm strictly now. My New Year's resolution is to only watch physical media. If it's not a physical media, it can go.
He also only listens to music on 8-track.
That's true. Or the same 8 songs.
Well, that's why
you're terrestrial radio. I listen to terrestrial radio, so I'm a little limited. So I loved the fact that it didn't have to be Thanksgiving, but it was. And everything is. We travel a lot. We have pursuits in our life and opportunities. We do get to travel a lot. And it's not always on our choice, right? It's not a time we wanted to fly. It's not a destination we want to go to. It's not a duration. It's not an activity. You're kind of stuck in this. Got to be at the airport 2 hours in advance. I got to go through security. To me, the biggest issue with work travel is you can't always check a bag. And so the things that you want that make you comfortable have to be sacrificed for the things that you need to do the job. And so I like that this movie, even though it's what, 30 years old now?
Probably.
It's not 40. Is it almost 40? We'll put it's this number of years old. It's still relevant because we all get frustrated.
It is.
When somebody else is in control of our destiny or in control of our circumstances.
Well, it's super relevant because a handful of weeks ago, Carrie and I went on some travel,
mm-hmm.
trying to get back to DC. Flight was canceled. So we switched to another flight at a different airport. That got canceled. Switched to another flight at a different airport with a different airline.
Mm-hmm.
That got canceled. So we were down in Florida. So I went and rented a car. Had to wait. And that, the whole car rental thing, fiasco. And then just drove back to DC.
13 hours?
14 and a half.
Oof.
So it's incredibly relevant. And I like that the movie highlights all of that, that anybody who travels on any kind of regular basis will understand. But Thanksgiving is only there to add that emotional punch, mainly at the end.
At the end. And I do want to talk about that. There is there's a YouTube video. There's a super fan that has done everything he can in his power to locate missing footage. Look at the original scripts. There's whole storylines that were cut out. It was like a 2.5 hour long movie. And they said, no, this is a fun holiday movie. Slash this, slash this, slash that. There's a whole storyline with Michael McKean as the cop that pulls him over. A whole chunk. But the part that I love now knowing, was at the end when Steve Martin introduces John Candy to his wife. There's this huge emotional swell in the camera angle, the pacing, the music. And I was like, he's never met this lady. Like, at first I thought maybe there was like, oh, we sat together on the bus 20 years ago. No, it was just, here's this guy. And I'm like, oh, I don't get it. And so the story is, there was a whole element of the movie that was shot, that was cut out, where every single time Neil called home and talked to his wife, he kept saying, I'm sharing a room with Del Griffin. Del Griffin's driving me crazy, blah, 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 blah. She had in her head the paranoia that Del Griffin was a code name for a girl that he was cheating on her with. And that was how he was covering up a lie, was by making up this impossible, obnoxious character that could not be real. So she has this whole storyline where she's like hanging up the phone and like crying or being all in her head about it. And that goes through the whole movie. And at the end, she meets the real Del Griffin, and he's got the gigantic Foot Locker, and he is a big presence. And she's like, oh, my husband has not been lying to me. You are a real guy. And that makes sense.
There's a video of, like, Steve Martin gets, he makes leather-bound copies of all the scripts of all the movies he's done. And so there's a video of him reading a section or highlighting a section from the script that got cut that John Candy, like a little bit of a speech or a monologue that John Candy was supposed to deliver, which would show more of his actual acting ability and bring even more heart and stuff like that to it, that ended up getting cut. And Steve Martin hated that that had to be removed.
There was a line I loved. It says, I sort of attach myself to people from time to time, like with you, especially around the holidays. I can take it in March, July, October, but it gets hard. And then he said, this time I couldn't let go.
And it's just stuff like that that just kind of makes you want to like the movie even more.
Right. And I want
and not get annoyed by Del as much. Yeah.
And I like that Neil starts off as like a grumpy guy, but he's not like a terrible person. He's comfortable, right? He's got a comfortable career. He used to things kind of going his way. He gets first class. He gets, you know, he's in a position at work where he's answering to a boss, but he's doing what he wants to be doing. And so it's
funny. He doesn't pivot well. He doesn't.
No, we're adapting. Yeah. No. And so when flying the ointment, when somebody comes and just disrupts everything, it's funny to us, the audience, to see somebody get so frustrated with things that we deal with. But here's like the worst person in the world to have to experience a flight delay or their rental car not being there. Like, it's funny to watch them kind of suffer a little bit.
Don't I know?
Yeah. But then you get to the end, and he does have that soul-searching moment on the train, which I don't know if you know this. That was not scripted. They were done doing whatever they were doing at the subway. And that was just Steve Martin decompressing after doing some emotional scenes. And John Hughes was like, that's it. That's the thing. Instead of what they were going to do. That montage was all unscripted Steve Martin just decompressing. And they used that because it was way more genuine than anything they have. And that's one of the reasons why Planes, Trains, and Automobiles has so much heart to it. Because there are genuine moments, and he's not just a bad guy, and Neil, and he's not just a Del's not just an oaf, right?
Because he also
layers in pain, and
and when you get the reveal about his story, it's like, jeez,
right?
You know, but it also, I like that Del has some of the street smarts, so when they get into some of these situations. And he's like, oh, let's do this. And Steve Martin's character's like, no. And da-da-da. And then Del does his thing.
Yeah.
And that was the successful bit.
Right.
You know.
He's bringing something to the table.
Yeah.
So it's incredible. I'm sure you've seen it. If you haven't watched it in a few years, definitely. This is what a great time to be indulging in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And then I also want to put a little pitch out there for it's a documentary by Colin Hanks called I Like Me, which was a line from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and it's the John Candy documentary. I believe it's either HBO or Netflix or Amazon.
One of them.
This one right here. That's where you can find it. It's fantastic. It does not delve into the behind the scenes of a lot of the individual movies. It's more about where he was in his life when he did those movies, and where he got to where he got to. And it's not heartbreaking. It's not a punch to the gut. It's a very good path, a journey. It's a good journey, but it is sad. I mean, he died too young and made a huge impact. So I do also want to recommend that. That's a good follow-up.
And I recommend Thanksgiving adjacent of Bruce Campbell's Black Friday.
Okay.
You haven't seen it yet.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's pretty wild.
Okay.
It's fun. It all is Black Friday, all in one time frame, in one location.
Okay. And is it, and it's making commentary on consumerism, or is it just we needed the arena of people at their worst?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Lightning rounds. This is a throwback.
Oh,
yeah, on the spot. What's the best Black Friday deal you've ever got?
I don't do Black Friday deals
at all, ever in your life.
No, I avoid malls and stores and stuff as much as possible on Fridays, on that Friday. And then the Cyber Monday Black Friday deal stuff, I don't. The stuff that I'm always looking for doesn't get put on stuff. So I don't have any.
Really?
Yeah. Because I also don't, and I don't really dive into that too much. Nope.
See, I knew the lightning round never works out with Joshua.
No, because what it's like with eBay. Like I don't use eBay.
I love eBay. I just won something awesome on eBay. We'll be sharing that in a future episode.
I think since its inception, I've probably bought 4 things off of eBay.
There's got tons of bike stuff. Go buy
since
bike stuff.
Came to be.
Right.
So yeah, that's how often I use eBay. So Black Friday stuff, I mean, yeah, I don't really.
I love Black Friday. 20 years ago, so it's before my son was born. My birthday falls right around Thanksgiving, and they pass each other and things like that. And one year, I think my birthday was a couple days after Black Friday, and it was a Cyber Week sale, so it was a Black Friday adjacent, but I bought a projector on Amazon and it got delivered on Black Friday, which was my birthday. So on my birthday, I received in my hands the projector I bought, and all I wanted to do was get a go and test it out. I'm very happy. My wife surprised me with a birthday party. And so she sent over my buddy at the time to take me out shopping, to get me out of the house. And I was like, are you crazy? This is not the day you go shopping. You don't just waltz into a store on Black Friday. He's like, well, I think we should go. I was like, I'm literally minutes away from wiring this up and watching Empire Strikes Back on a 70-inch diameter screen. And he got me out of the house. And I had a great surprise.
70-inch diameter?
70-inch diagonal.
Okay.
I had the DI in there.
It was like round?
Yeah. Well, corner to corner. What do you just call it? Diagonal? I guess. All right. That's 70-whatever inch. And I had a fantastic time. It was a great birthday. But I did receive a Black Friday deal projector. And it still works. It's a 20-year-old projector. It has no HDMI input.
Well, so no.
Things get a little... You have to get a little tricky with your cable management, but it still works. I watched something on it a couple weeks ago. So that's my big Black Friday conquest.
How much did you save on that?
I think it was only like $300. I think it was a $700 or $600 projector. Here's the thing. It was right around the time HDMI was coming out. And so I believe they knew people aren't going to want these projectors anymore.
And see, that's my problem with Black Friday stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's gotten to the point now that Black Friday started, what, last week?
Oh, yeah.
And it's the week before Thanksgiving. It's like that the Prime days used to, when it first started, it had some pretty cool stuff.
Right.
Now this is just the depository of, let's get rid of crap that we don't want to store anymore, but we're not giving it much of a discount. We're just giving it a little bit, but people are going to think that it's a big discount. But really, we just want to get rid of stuff. Like I saw a comic a couple days ago where it was like, X item, $8.99. No.
Right.
And then, ooh, it's on, you know, the next day, you know, $8.99 from this other place. No. But then Black Friday, $12.99/$8.99.
Right.
Exact same thing. And they're like, yes. It's like,
people want to feel like they're winning. Yes.
Yeah.
People want to
feel
like they're winning.
It's all.
So you got it. So to me, it was good because I didn't need a projector that had HDMI input. And so instead of buying this thing in September for $500 or $600, Black Friday came up. So I was not in the market. I wanted a projector. It was a desire of mine. But it's like, I can't afford a projector because we have a TV. It's a $600 toy, if you will. Well, so then when Black Friday deals came out on Amazon, it was like, this $600 projector is now $3. I was like, okay, there's probably new models coming out in a few months, but hey, this makes it much more or less of a risk if I didn't like it. And here I am. I've used it for 20 years.
But you don't find that anymore.
No.
And that's...
People are, you know, it's been game. Best... So here's my wimpy one. Michaels does presets. So if you get there at 6 a.m., 7 a.m., it's like 75% off. And then at like 10 a.m., it's 50% off. And then at like 11 o'clock, it's 25% off. Whatever, right? So I go, I've gotten there at like 7 a.m. and bought all my frames. I bought tons and tons of picture frames for like $3. And then all my prints were great gifts for Christmas that year.
That would be worth.
But getting up that early to buy picture frames from Michael sucks. That's something I'm going to be doing. Two more times.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just don't do the... We did go to Tyson's one Black Friday. It was a roommate that wanted to go. So we're like, all right, we'll drive and blah, blah, blah. We ended up getting some pillows. Not because it was a Black Friday deal, but it was like, well, we're here.
Right.
Gotta get some pillows. So...
Right. And by the way, when you're telling these little stories...
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Thank you for watching Rewind Basement. We'd love to know, what are some of your Thanksgiving traditions? What are some of your best Black Friday acquisitions? We'd love to join us in the comments. Give us a like and subscribe. We've got another episode coming out very soon about post-apocalyptic wastelands. And we have a whole bunch more in the pipeline coming at you. So, and make sure to check us out on Instagram. We're trying to do some additional content, not just rehashes, but... supplemental materials.
And I hope our discussion gave you something to chew on.
Gobble gobble.